Turn in your Bible to Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, and hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? So keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are upon their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is close unto them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all, and he keeps all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Lord, as we look at these verses this evening, we pray that your Holy Spirit would go deep into our souls, because in this one psalm alone, you give us two verses that give us the key to a really successful and long and happy life. May we learn these keys, and may you bless our lives in Jesus' name. This psalm is divided into two divisions. If you've never studied it before, there is in the first three verses actually an old song that has been written. This old, of course, because David wrote it, but I mean that some of you may even know from years of your Sunday school time. But at the end of verse 10, it goes into a second movement and a second division. Now, David is writing this psalm at the same time, if you've joined us on Sunday mornings, when we're studying about King Saul, and King Saul just died in our studies, and David goes out and battles this huge giant named Goliath, chops off the head of the giant, holds his head up in his hands, and shows all the Philistine armies, and they all flee from him. They're afraid of David just as a teenager. He ascends up to the throne. We've seen that David's now been anointed to be the king, and he's just getting ready to take over the throne. And it's during a time that David is no longer a teenager, but a young man, and a man named Abimelech comes into his life. And this Sunday, we look at this whole scene of Psalm 34, 35, and 36 of David's writing from these real experiences. Now, what caught my attention about Leland Sunday evening was he said he had a turning point in his life when he was 13. And I said, when he's 13? It's like God tickled my heart that he's having an experience with the Lord when he's worshiping in a church with his family. And he opens his eyes from playing the guitar and singing and sees his mother, you know, worshiping God and people crying all around him. And he realized God has called him to take his music and his talent to people. Yet members of his own family and friends says, you're going to go to hell because you got long hair and you're playing rock and roll music. And he's saying, but I love God and I want to take what I have. And that's what David was doing when he was this young man's age. And he took the experience of his life and he wrote them down in these psalms. Now you can sit and you can look at the Bible as an old person's book, or you can say, hold it. This guy is expressing in words of a psalm what he was going through as a person. Every one of you have had times in your life which you wished you could just tell somebody what you felt. And that's what he's doing. He's telling the whole world exactly what he felt. So the psalmist, David, expresses great praise to God, and he directs the writing to speak to men from the second half. So the first 10 verses of Psalm 34 are a hymn. I'd like you to take note of that. The first 10 verses of Psalm 34 is a hymn, and the last 12 verses of the psalm are a sermon. So he's not schizophrenic, but you do the same thing. Sometimes you're just like this, and the next minute you're like this. And he's just showing that he's a man. And in doing so, the Holy Ghost is here to show you that God wants to draw out of your life the things that he has allowed you to go through so you can bless other people. In one voice, your life may be pain and sorrow and suffering. And the other part of your life, it may be joy and happiness and really an exhilarating thing you have to say. The thing about life is it's up and it's down, it's up and it's down. And yea, though you walk through a valley of the shadow of death, you're not going to fear evil. But when you're on the mountaintop, it says that Jesus went to the mountain and he sat down and he called the disciples to him. Seeing the multitudes, he went to the mountaintop because he's going to send the people down. Some of you are living in mountaintop experiences right now. It's been a great day surfing at the beach. It's beautiful in San Diego. Eat your heart out, to the rest of you in the world that are watching on the internet tonight. This is truly America's finest. It's just, you know, Mediterranean tropical weather. It's just beautiful in San Diego. The people are beautiful. The place is beautiful. But yet, you will go into these valleys. School will start again in September. Right? Okay. You'll have these ups and downs in life. But I want you to fall in love with the Bible so you fall in love with God. And you realize the Bible was written by people that were boys and girls, that were teenagers, that were adults, that were old people. And all they're doing is sharing that God's alive. That's all it's about. And this is how God worked in my personal life. And he'll do it in your life. Now, you may not write the same psalm, but you all could write a proverb or a psalm. You could all write a story of this was going on in my life, and then God did this in my life, and I saw no way out. So take a new approach as you look at these three psalms before Leland comes back. Look at the band, see their love for God, and realize that God has something for every generation through the psalms. Because David is writing as a young man, an old man, and God is going to bless him and use him. So the first 10 verses are a hymn. The rest of the book, from the end of verse 10 down to the next 12 verses, are a sermon. So in verses 1 through 3, David encourages others to bless the Lord as he blesses God. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Doesn't say some of the time. You know, you might bless the Lord right now. But when you go to Islands or you go to In-N-Out tonight and you sit down, will you be blessing the Lord or will you be thinking of other things going on? You see, the all times means not just when you're feeling great and you've just run 3 miles on the beach on a beautiful night like tonight and the endorphins are really snapping and you're feeling really high from just a great day at the beach. You will praise the Lord when you have to go visit your friend that's in the hospital that may die. At all times, and that's what David is writing in this song because he has learned, as he writes this psalm, he's being pushed away from people. And he's being rejected right now. But he's going to worship the Lord even in these times. I'll worship the Lord, bless him at all times. Praise is continually in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. He heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. And maybe you have some fears. Fears could show up in a short way, in a light way, in an easy way as doubts and frustrations. And you feel edgy. But fears can be the boogeyman, and you are afraid that the boogeyman is in your closet tonight. So you're afraid to go in the bedroom because the boogeyman's in the closet. David can assure you, Leland can assure you, I can assure you, the boogeyman is not in your closet. He's not there. He's underneath your bed. Watch out. He's not there. So verses 1 through 3, you may want to make note, David takes these to encourage other people to bless the Lord as he blesses the Lord. You see, your life can bless the Lord at all times so that other people can bless the Lord, even if they don't know the Lord. Now, verses 4 through 7, David begins to relate his own experience. And you want to say right now, I want to relate my experience. Because your one experience could be the experience that changes a person's life. Years ago, we held a festival, an outreach in Visalia, California. But in my first trip, many years ago, we held an outdoor concert in a Bank of America parking lot with a couple of thousand teenagers. And God moved upon many of the gangs and the people in gangs in the valley. There are more gangs now. But I talked to a young man, 17 years old, same age as Leland. He's got two cousins in the group. There's two brothers, three cousins. It's a family deal from Texas. They're all related. And I went to see the sheriff. And the sheriff said, we have a holding cell for three people that are on death row. Would you go in and would you talk to them? And I said, I'd be more than happy to. He said, we can't send anybody in, but they'll be behind bars. And you can go down and talk to these three different prisoners. Here is the scene. One was an older gentleman that was in his 70s that had murdered somebody. He was on going to death row at a major facility. This was his holding place. He had been convicted. He was going to be executed. The second one was a 19 or 20-year-old man who was an avowed Satan worshiper. He was in the prime of his life. He served Satan. At the far end, out of the 5, 6, 7 holding cells, was a 17-year-old young man who hired the Satan worshiper to murder his own mother and father. This was a horrible scene because the mother and the father were very wealthy and owned a lot of farming land in the valley. And so he hired these people to come in at night and to kill his mom and dad so he would inherit all the money. He was stoned. The Satan worshiper came in, kills the mom and dad. He's stoned. They all get arrested. He squeals on the kid because the kid was going to give him $1 million or whatever the number was. And they all get arrested. So I go and I meet the elderly gentleman first. And I said, can I talk to you? And he came, put his hands right on the bars and looked me in the face. The sweetest face. And I said, are you going to heaven? And he says, oh, I thought I was when I was a young man, Mike, but I don't think I'm going to heaven now. I didn't mean to kill those people. I just got angry and it just led to what it was. He was so repentant and heartbroken. And I said, I'm going to give you a Bible. Will you read with me? And he started to cry. And he said, I can't read. Now here's a guy not 40 years old or 22 years old or 53 years old. He's at the end of his life, literally, but he's an elderly man. And he couldn't read. Nobody had taken the time to teach this man how to read from his youth, ever. And I said, how about this? I leave the Bible and I just read to you from the scriptures. So I read with him. And then we prayed together and he said, Jesus, would you forgive me of my crimes and my sins? And could I have eternal life? This man accepts the Lord. Now I go to the next cell and here's the 20-year-old Satanist. He's got a blanket over his head. He's curled up. He hears me talking to the guy next to him. It's very close quarters to say the least. I said, I'd like to talk to you for just a moment. He said, no, I don't want to talk to you. I said, just drop the cover off your head and look at me. Would you? No, I don't want to even look at you. Now I said, you're serving the other guy and I'm serving the right guy. And since I'm serving the right guy, in the name of the right guy, you get up and come here and talk to me. And it'll be short, to the point, and we'll get it over with. This kid was so hard. The tattoos, the T-top, you know, the whole thing. Just attitude, all attitude. And I looked at this man compared to the man in the next cell that was so broken and humble. And this guy was so hard, he wanted nothing to do with Jesus and salvation on the cross. I did what I did, and I'm glad I did what I did, and I'd do it again was the attitude. No matter what I read to him, even though I read the same thing to him and told him that if you would confess your sins, God would be faithful and just to forgive you your sins, to cleanse you of all of your unrighteousness and give you eternal life. This kid was so hard, he said no. I said, okay, you know, in all honor to you respecting me, I respect you. Go get back under your blanket. You know, it's 2:00 in the afternoon. It was 95 degrees outside. Perfectly beautiful day. Not the day you want to be underneath your blanket in a prison cell, to say the least. I went down 3 more cells, and at the end was the 17-year-old. The first thing I noticed was all of the posters that was on his wall. He had a Ferrari. He had a Playboy girl that I didn't really want to look at. He had cars. He had all the things a 17-year-old would be hallucinating about without any help from drugs. Just his adrenaline would get him, you know, and his genes would get him looking at that stuff and thinking about these things. Toys, prizes. And then there was a group of postcards from France, from Paris, from London, from New York. And they were all posted on the wall. And I brought this guy over and he said, I heard everything you said to both those people. He said, there's no way I could ever be forgiven. I love my mother. I love my father. I was in a fit of rage because they wouldn't do something. So I was stoned one night and I said to this guy, I will pay you. Come and murder my mom and dad. We'll get the money and I'll give you some of the money. And what happened? I didn't get any of it. These are all the things I wished I could have bought with the money. Well, at 17, you don't know all the things you want to buy. You haven't been around the world. You don't know what's going on. And I said, well, tell me about those postcards. Those postcards are from my older sister. And she is traveling in all the places of the world, spending all the money. She got all the money. And she's got her boyfriend, and they're getting stoned around the world, spending the money. And she torments me by sending me postcards telling me, wish you were here. How sad. What he thought didn't turn out the way he thought. What you think is not necessarily the way life is going to turn out often. Life just seems like it's no fun at all sometimes. If you could rewrite the whole script of your life, probably instead of turning left at 12, you would have gone straight. Instead of turning right at 17, you would have gone left. Instead of going straight at 21, you would have gone to the right. Instead of at 32, you know, and you just keep on going. If I could rewrite it, there's no way you'll ever rewrite yesterday or even this day since you got out of bed. But there is everywhere that the sinless blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, can erase all of your errors, all of your mistakes, and all the wrong roads you went on. He will forgive you if you'll just ask Him to. Well, I ended up praying with that young man. And I asked him if he'd accept Jesus, and he did accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You know, David's on the lam. He's been rejected. He's running. He's singing a hymn to the Lord, and he's saying, come on, everybody, worship with me. Lift up your hands, clap your hands, let's praise God together. And then he takes his message and goes from, let's sing together, to give them the word of God. So he tells his own experience in verse 4. For the word of the Lord is light, and all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the host of them. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong psalm. I sought the Lord and heard him. They looked unto me, and were, that's a good psalm too, but we looked at that last week. Their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of his trouble. The angel of the Lord encamps round them that fear him. These are all experiences that he had. Then verse 8 to 10, David takes and encourages the reader, like you and me, to seek God and to trust him for all of your provisions. Look what he says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. There is no want. Now the young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And then in verses 11 to 14, it was nothing but an exhortation. In verse 15 is the end, to the end is his teaching, that he's instructing the person. Now here are four key verses for you to maybe memorize, because they are a song. Verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise is continually going to be on my mouth. My soul will make a boast in the Lord. The humble are going to hear of my life, and they're going to understand and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Many people say, come and get drunk with me. Come and get stoned with me. Come and party with me. But he's saying, no, come with me and magnify the Lord. I sought the Lord, he said, and God heard me. Do you know if we call out to God, he will hear us? And what did he do? He delivered me from my fears. The fears that keep you from doing the things that you would like to do with your life. Here's the other verse to memorize, verse 7. Would you read it out loud with me, please? It's a great one. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear and delivers them. Yeah. There's angels in this room. There are angels outside. They're camped around you. If you fear him and love God, they will protect you. They will look after you. How about verse 8? Would you read it out loud? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts him. Otherwise, the Lord is alive. And you can taste the Spirit of God. And you can invite him to come into your life and to be blessed. And let's finish this other one to memorize, verse 18. Would you read verse 18 out loud? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as are of a contrite spirit. Otherwise, you're a humble person. But let's say you have had some really bad news. Let's say there's been a major setback in your plans, the way you've scripted your life. It is falling apart. It's imploding on you. It is not good. The Bible says right here very clearly, the Lord is near the people with broken hearts. He loves to help you. And here is a key thought for you out of this psalm. Verse 12, 13, and 14. And this is a key thought because it teaches you how to have a long and fruitful and happy life. If you're wondering if you can live to be old, if you can have a happy life, I want you to listen as I read one more time, verse 12, 13, and 14. Write down on your Bible or the wrist of the person next to you, keys to a happy life. If you're looking for a happy life, this is it. Here, listen very carefully. Verse 12, 13, and 14. What man is he that desires life and loves many days? He wants a long life. He wants a lot of happy days that he may see good. Everybody wants to see good. We don't want to see bad. Keep your tongue from evil, number one. Don't talk dirty talk. And your lips from speaking guile. Don't get bitter against other people and destroy other people with your attitude. The third thing, depart from evil and do good. If you're involved in evil on the internet, depart from it. If you don't, that evil is going to consume your soul. And that's why you can't get the bad pictures out of your mind. It's consuming you. It's eating your soul up. So depart from evil to do good. And then the final thing, seek peace and then pursue it. Don't seek to get right. Don't seek to get even. Don't seek to get revenge, for revenge is mine, saith the Lord. Seek peace in every relationship. Seek his peace, and you will have a long life. This attitude, if you'll just circle it around your Bible, will give you and your gene pool and your DNA some sort of medication that would allow you to live a good and happy and peaceful life. The attitude is right there. If you'll do these things, this is going to keep you going. No matter if the bird flu comes or a cuckoo bird comes, you're going to be all right when God's all through with your life. That's a key thought, verse 12, 13, and 14. Now, Psalm 35, this psalm has a triple character to it. The other one had a double character. This one has a triple character. Three things it talks about. It's a complaint, number one, a prayer, number two, and a promise of praise for number three. In verses 1 through 10, it's a complaint. In verses 11 through 18, it's a prayer. In verses 19 to 28, it's a promise of praise. Now, the interesting thing, using parallelism, putting things side by side and going the same direction, it amplifies, actually. And here you can see that this is exactly what Jesus Christ of Nazareth did in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was crucified. He used the same words three times in his prayer to get across to the reader, but to get across to heaven what his heart was really saying. So now, knowing that there's a complaint, a prayer, and a promise of praise, let's look at Psalm 35. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of the shield and the buckler and stand up for my help. Well, hold it. Why can't he stand up? He's a warrior, this guy. But he's asking God, and what a great thing to learn. You even carry the instruments to protect me. I can't even pick up the sword or the shield, God. I need you to stand in front of my enemies. Now, all of us have people that don't like us. I'm sorry to say it. You may be the cutest person in the room, but there are people that are jealous of you because you are so cute. There are people that envy that you have the coolest looking car in the parking lot. There are people that just don't like you because everybody does like you. Whatever the reason is, you have enemies. I have enemies. But when we get to the place that I can fight my own battles, you're going to lose. But when you come to the place and say, Lord, protect me from those that are my enemies, you're going to win without ever making another enemy, because they won't know where it came from. God will defend you. So the words of his mouth are iniquity. Excuse me. Verse 3, draw out also the spear, stop the way against them that persecute me. So in verses 1 through 10, we see the complaint. Let them be as chaff before the wind. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery. That's kind of a mean thing to say to somebody, huh? Dark and slippery. Let the angel of the Lord persecute them. And so as you read those first 10 verses, you got to complain. Now look at the prayer in the next 7 verses, 11 through 18. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I didn't know anything about. Have you ever had somebody lie about you? That's not true. You tell your mom or you tell your girlfriend, that's not true. Somebody's spreading a rumor, you tell your boss. I didn't do that. I was here on time. I did work that overtime. Well, that's what David's saying. There are people spreading rumors about him. And so he says, false witnesses, they reward me with evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. You've done some good things and people turn on you. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. Otherwise, even though they were Being mean to me, I fasted and prayed for those people when they were sick. Verse 14, I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourns for his mother. But in my adversary, adversity, they rejoiced. You don't ever want to rejoice when somebody's down. But we've all had people that like to kick us when we're down or spit on us when we're down. I was watching the Animal Channel a few weeks ago, and there was this huge old lion, you know, with the mane. He looked like the MGM lion, the big old fur guy, and just as big as could be, and he's out in the jungle. But you looked at his elbows, and his elbows looked like he had worn them off. I don't know, from kneeling and praying or what, but they were all, you know, gnarly elbows. And his fur was not the best looking fur, you know. It just kind of sick looking, really. But he still had this huge mane that said, I'm the king of the jungle. Well, he was walking along. You can see he had arthritis, and he wasn't strong, and he wasn't really, you know, that tough. And he curled up and was lying down. The camera zooms in on him, and a pack of hyenas come giggling and laughing like hyenas do, poking each other and tickling each other, you know, and they're doing their little thing. And all of a sudden, they look over and they see the old MGM guy sitting there. And so they look at each other like it was planned. One of them went as the scout, and he walks up to the big old lion, and he goes, boink, and jumps back. And the lion did nothing. They could tell that he was crippled. They could tell that he was old. They could tell this was dinner, late night snack for this pack of hyenas. So he went up again, and went, boink, and he jumps back. The lion did nothing. He went, rrr, something like that. Third time he goes up, points him, and he jumps back, and the lion got up on his haunches. Now two or three come up like they're going to jump in and meet him, and the lion picked up his paw and went, whoosh, whoa. They all looked at each other like, is there some Porky Pig around that we could get here? What's going on? Well, then they all said, we'll rush this old guy. And as they all started moving closer to him, he went, roar, and he let out this roar, and man, they split. They split. They went to El Portal and just had pork chops or something. I don't know. But they got out of the neighborhood really quickly. You know, that's how people are with us sometimes. You're down, and they want to poke you. Ah, finally, she's out of it. Finally, he's not competition anymore. And David is saying, God, you got to help me with these people. They are so bad. So he's praying to them. You get to verse 19, and he pours his heart out. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause, for they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yes, they opened their mouth wide against me and said, aha, aha, our eye has seen it. This you have seen, O Lord, keep not silence. So he's praising the Lord. Stir up yourself, awake to my judgment, even unto my cause. Judge me, O Lord, my God. Now here's the key verses to think about. First of all, look at these verses that I gave you. Notice that the end of each one of these, the complaint, the prayer, and the promise, verse 10, 18, and 28, they each end with a joyful song, a note of a song, something very positive. Each section ends with something really positive, even though he has just exclaimed to us and to God, there's a lot of negative things going on with people around me. I need your help. Here's a key verse, is verse 9, I think. Would you read it out loud with me? And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. Yeah, you're down, but let your soul rejoice. You're saved. Do you realize you're never going to die? Oh, you may blink an eye and leave this old creepy thing that you're living in, but you're never going to die. You're going to be right there in a new body that never gets wrinkled, never ever gets sick, never has a headache, never has to worry about anything. It's just going to live forever, and you're going to just be in perfect shape for eternity. So though there's a lot going around you that is negative, and the hyenas of the hellhole are coming up and poking you, let the lion of the tribe of Judah stand up for you and go, roar, and the boogeyman will leave from underneath your bed, okay? And then verse 28, this is the key thought, I think, for us for this psalm. Would you read it out loud with me? And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and your praise all the day long, all the day long. That's what I want to be talking about. You know, the people of the world, the Bible says, speak of worldly things. The people of God speak of heavenly things. You can tell if you're a worldly person by the things you talk about, or if the people you're hanging with are worldly by the things they talk about. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? Let's eat, drink, and make merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's party. Let's just have fun. Talk about the latest designs, the latest fashions, the latest cars, the latest movies, the latest American Idol, the latest whatever. Who really cares? If you're talking about the world, you're filled with the world. You're talking about the Lord, you're probably filled with the Lord. The less time you spend in the Bible and prayer, and the more time you spend in front of the television set, the more you're going to talk about the world, and the less you're going to talk about God. What you want to do is let the Holy Ghost, who is here right now, take the ink off these pages and print it on your heart. So your heart starts flowing all the time with the things of God. Now finally, before Leland comes back, unless they've already left for Texas, aren't they fun to watch? I mean, just the enthusiasm, the heart. Psalm 36. Charles Spurgeon, the great English preacher, in his study on Psalm 36 that he gave one Sunday night in London, said, "This is called the Song of Happy Service." I like that. The Song of Happy Service. Do you have happy service with God? That's what this psalm is about. The Song of Happy Service. To be happy serving the Lord. Now this psalm, though it is short, David speaks of the rebellious people in verses 1 through 4. In verses 5 through 9, King David glorifies the wonder attributes of God. So look at what he's doing here. Here's the bad guys. Here's God. You know, when you see God and you think about God and you take the higher ground, great things begin to happen. Let me think of this. We were told, let's take off of the website of the city of San Diego the word America's Finest City. Do you remember that? Just by members of the city council and people of the city, because we were disgraced by some corruption. We get a new mayor and he comes into town and he says, one of the first things I'm going to do is put back on the website America's Finest City, because this will be America's Finest City. Now, a handful of negative people that are always looking for the negative, that are in leadership in our city, says, oh, we're the worst people. One man comes along and says, no, we just made some mistakes, but we are the finest city and we're going to make it the finest. You see the difference in attitude? One, we could have this cloud, we used to be the finest city. Yeah, we're nothing but rats. But now you can say, yeah, we tripped, we stumbled, but we're America's finest city. Our leader told us so. Same people on the city council said, get the cross off, we can't afford to defend the cross and it's too heavy. And the second thing the mayor comes in, the new guy that's elected, says, the first thing I'm going to fight for is we're going to keep that cross up in San Diego no matter what. Now think of the imagery. Just think of the imagery. I'm not being political for or against, but think of the imagery. The same three city council members, oh, get that cross down. And this guy comes along and says, hey, we want to honor 86% of San Diegans that voted for that stay up. Why aren't we doing what the people want? This is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. You see the difference of attitude? This is what David's doing. Lift God up. The bad guys are up here. Get them out. Put God above the bad guys. That's what this psalm does in Psalm 36. First four verses have rebellious people. And the next verse 5 through 9 have God's wonderful attributes, which always overshadow rebellious people. And then verse 10 and 11, King David prays to the Lord. And then verse 12, King David looks through the eyes of faith and he sees with hope the bad guys lose. God's won the whole deal. He's on the right side. He feels good about himself and about the country. The bad guys seem to be in charge. The bad guys are winning. But he ends up saying, ha, the bad guys lost. You know, you're part of the solution or you are the problem. It has a lot to do with your attitude. The glass is either half full or half empty. And you can make a difference in your school. You can make a difference in your condominium complex. You can make a difference in your home. You can make a difference in the seat you're sitting in right now. You can make a difference inside yourself just by letting God turn it around and shine light and get rid of the darkness. Put positive words in your mind instead of all the negative that you're filling yourself with the iPod phones on there, feeding false doctrine through music into your heart. Not saying don't listen, but realize that's doctrine. Ungodly doctrine with good music behind it coming in and planting itself in your heart. that you fill yourself with, you wonder why you get down and depressed. Because the whole world is designed to be dark and dismal and pull you away from the glorious God of heaven, who at his right hand is seated right now before all the zillions of angels, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified on the cross, buried in a grave, and miraculously was raised from the dead. And he went down to the pit of hell, and he saved everybody that's waiting for the Messiah. And Ephesians 4 said he led captivity captive. He ascended on high, giving good gifts to men. He gave pastors and teachers and evangelists and miracle workers, and he gave apostles to the body of Christ, of Jesus Christ being the head. A positive institution with a positive influence, full of positive people that have a positive message that you're never going to die. You're going to live forever and ever and ever because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So you look at this short little psalm, and it says, the transgression of the wicked. So here's the rebellious people. Says within his heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He has left off to be wise and to do good. He devises mischief upon his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He hates not evil. He loves evil. And there are people that love evil. Now, here we come in verse 5 through 9, King David giving glory to the attributes of God. If you look at this God, these are his attributes. Verse 5. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preservest man and beast. Just think, God created animals, and he created mankind, and some of you have pets, and you love them. I think it's cool that he could create a creature that can't talk to you. Maybe in the early days of the garden it used to talk, but you can love that creature, and that creature can love you back. And they're the ones that go, pss, pss, that you can hate and tell them to get out of your yard. But God made these. And he says his mercy's in the heavens, and God's love is there. His faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. And think of this. Anything that has life in it, according to the Bible, not according to Marx and Lenin, I'm not talking John Lennon and Groucho Marx. I'm talking the communist Lennon and Marx. And to the globalist or to the ultra-liberal person or the communist. Everything that has life is precious to God. If he preserves the animals and he has a faithful old guy build a boat for 120 years just to get the animals on so the animals would be here during your lifetime, that's a pretty great God. And why is it that the movie comes out, March of the Penguins, and these goofy penguins march 70 miles in a blizzard every year by the tens of thousands and stand in one big corporate circle while the mommy penguins lay their eggs? And once the egg is laid and the winds start beating, the mommies waddle back 70 miles in the storms, dive into the ocean and feed themselves while the daddy penguin stands in the freezing blizzard with his beak frozen, his whatever, he doesn't have ears. These are frozen over here. That's probably why they don't hear us when we call them. They don't have them. You know, his feet are all, and he stands there as a daddy just protecting that little egg. He stands and flaps it between his feet. 6 months without eating. And then the mom walks back 70 miles. She's gone 70, 70, 70, 210 miles. And then brings the food back in her throat to give to the dad so the dad can now have strength as the mom takes over and that baby is born. Do you know that those penguins have more love and more concern for their offspring than the human race does? And that the now National Organization of Women has, or abortion doctors have. God saves and preserves the animal. Look how much he cares for anything that has life in it. How much more does he care for you? He cares so much for you. He knew that the greatest music in the world wouldn't get your attention. The greatest orator in the world wouldn't get your attention. But he loved you so much he gave his son that hopefully would get your attention. And if Jesus can't get your attention, you're like that Satanist in the prison cell. You've got a blanket over your head on a beautiful day and you're missing life. It's that simple. God preserves, that's his attribute, that he preserves anything that he created that has the breath of life within it. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you shall make them drink out of the rivers of your good pleasures. Now, verse 10 and 11, he prays, "Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me." And then verse 12, would you read it out loud? "There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down, and they shall not be able to rise." Wow. But Psalm 1 starts out, "As blessed is he that doesn't stand with these wicked." You're going to stand in the midst of the congregation. The wicked are about ready to be wiped off the face of the earth. Just about. Are you going to be standing, or are you going to fall? Here's the key verse to memorize. Verse 5 through 7. Would you read it out loud with me? "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. You preserve man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." And here's the key thought. Would you read it? Verse 9. "For with you is the fountain of life, and in your light shall we see light." Amazing. If you have a fountain, that's one thing. But when there's a source for that fountain, that's another. Because you may have a fountain in your backyard, but it's not plugged into anything. God is the fountain of life, the source of life, and it bubbles over. "Whosoever believes in me," Jesus said, "from his innermost being will rush forth rivers of living water." Take these psalms, let the ink come off of the page and print on your heart, and get to know God in a way that you can express yourself, even if it's three movements or divided into two movements, if it's a praise or a complaint or a prayer or a promise. At least you're expressing yourself, and other people will look and they will see the attributes of God flowing through your honesty, your transparency, through your truth, and through your love. Let's stand and let's pray as Leland comes back and we have some more music. Jesus, we thank you so much for the honesty and the openness of King David. And we thank you, Lord, that this man didn't cash in all of his chips. He didn't turn his back and run. He didn't give up when the odds were against him. He didn't get depressed when he was down. He always looked up to you and saw you. And we prayed that you would forgive us for being whiners and complainers and murmurers and backbiters. That, Lord, we would not be the problem, we'd be part of your solution. Father, I pray for this crowd and those that are listening on the radio around the country and those that are listening on the internet around the world, that your Holy Ghost would stir up our souls, that the ink of the page would come off and plaster our hearts with truth, that we would hunger and thirst to see you in the beauty of your holiness, that God, you'd become so real that you would just continually be on our lips, the things we spoke about, the things we sing about, the things we encourage others about, would all be about you. So may you touch these people, encourage these people. Don't let them have a half empty glass. Don't let them have a half full glass. Overflow them as the fountain of life, and baptize them with the power of the Holy Ghost, and unleash the gifts of the Holy Spirit within them, that they would be people that say, "I've had good times, I've had bad times, but God was there all the time. I've had my ups and my downs, but God has been with me through it all. I've come from the mountaintop through the valley, and he is with me, holding my hand, saying, 'This is the way, go ye in it.'" May you honor these people that wish to study your word. May you bless them that they could come to know you in a fresh new way they have never even imagined before. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.